All right, let's do this properly. Good morning, gentlemen. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the opportunity to come together. Our fellowship is always welcome, Lord. And yet, our purpose is to get to know you better, to start our day with a fresh view of who you are and what you would have us to do on your kingdom's behalf. Guide us this morning through these next few minutes. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right, how many of you guys would consider yourselves theologians?
Good luck.
It wasn't a R.C. Sproul book. It says everybody's a theologian.
Did you hear that? According to R.C. Sproul, everyone's a theologian. I happen to agree, since theology simply means study of or word about God. Every Christian, frankly, every non-Christian has some knowledge of God. The only question is, are you a sound theologian? Are you a good theologian? Or something you don't want to share with others? We're going to spend a few minutes this morning just looking at our own individual knowledge of who God is. And I've broken it down into a handful of categories. And this could be done and probably could be used as a morning devotional. Just get up, get your brain cells working. By asking yourself a couple of questions in each of these areas. What we're going to do is try to write down two things you know in each of these areas, and then we'll pool our knowledge and see what the kingdom can benefit by. A room full of men like this who know and are getting to know their God better and better. The categories, as you can see, are the Bible, God the Father, Christ, God the Son, that is, God the Holy Spirit, angels, man, sin, salvation, the church, and last things. Everybody know what I mean by last things? I didn't want to put the big Greek word there, eschatology, but it's just those final events, the wrap-up, the big wrap-up, how God's going to conclude the matter. All right, so the way we'll do this is very unorganized and probably not conducive to good TV, but in a room full of like this, we should be able to get a couple of volunteers in any one of these areas. For example, let's do it this way. First table, I want a couple of items on the Bible. Just two items about the Bible that you believe are true. Next table, Ed, John, a couple of items about God the Father that you believe are true. Back there with Rock and Company, a couple of items about Christ, Jesus, okay, that you believe are true. In the back there, Wayne and y'all, we're at the Holy Spirit, right? Just two items you think are true about the Holy Spirit. Right here with Ed, two things that you can come up with about angels. That you believe or so. Yes, Eric. And, well, this should be easy. And hell, two things about man from the scripture. You believe or so. And back at the back table, in the back row, you guys should know something about sin. I don't know why.
Back here.
But there you are. There you go. All right, I'm going to give you a few minutes to just talk over amongst yourselves at your table what you're going to come up with, and then share that with the larger group in just a couple of minutes, okay? So it shouldn't take more than a couple of minutes to come up with two things in any one of those areas. Wrapping up number two things in your area. Looks like the first table is ready, so we'll jump in with them. You guys can take a few more seconds while you hear what the first table has. All right, guys, tell us two things that are true about the Bible.
The first is it's a collection of inspired writings.
Okay, a collection of inspired writings. And what's the second thing?
That it's truth. It is truth.
All right. The Bible is true. True or truth?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Painless. Ed, John, what can you tell us about God the Father? Sure, there are a lot.
How about eternal and holy?
He is eternal. And he is holy. Got a few seconds. What do you mean by eternal?
He has always existed and always will be.
He's always existed and always will be. Okay? Not bound by time at all. Okay? And holy? Even more interesting. What do you mean by that?
Righteous?
No.
Unique or set apart.
Unique, set apart. I like that. Yeah. Yeah. Very good. Thank him for your help. All right. Next table. What do you know about Christ? What can we learn about Christ from table number three here? Okay, he's one with the Father. And, yeah, he's Son of God.
Truth, the way, and the life.
The way, the truth, and the life. Yeah, there's going to be a lot, hopefully. Hopefully. Back there with Wayne and company. What do we know from your table about the Holy Spirit? He's comforter,
counselor.
There's two right there. All right, back here at the front. What can you tell us about angels?
They are ministering spirits. There are elect angels and there's fallen angels. There are elect angels and fallen angels. And Christ is called the angel of the Lord.
Okay. That's three, but you don't get any extra points for the bonus. That's okay. Ministering spirits, like you could say that about Jack Daniels, couldn't you?
Hopefully.
Well, different type of spirit.
I just threw that out because those two words came to mind. I asked that, is that even in the Bible? Just like those words.
Uh-huh.
I can't remember where or reference, but those words popped in my head.
Yeah.
I don't know if they're in the scripture.
They actually are. Oh. And what is a ministering spirit? We know the Holy Spirit is one, but what would a ministering spirit do?
He watches out for us.
Watches out for us. He would guide.
Sometimes they deliver messages.
Deliver messages. Yeah. Minister simply means serving. So he's some type of serving spirit, in this case, serving God in whatever capacity.
But, yeah.
man. What do you know about man from Hal and Eric?
We know that man is made in the image of God.
Intellect, emotion, and will.
Very, very good. Yes, intellect. I heard something about that just this morning. Emotion and will.
Not necessarily in that order.
But aren't they handy in relating to a God who has intellect, emotion, and will? Yeah, it comes in very handy. All right, back at the back table, what can you tell us about sin? No names, please.
Well, all have sinned.
All have sinned, okay. All of us, just not get too personal.
Sin separates us from God. But sin can be is forgiven through Jesus Christ.
I'm sure you could, and that's my point. Let's keep on collectively. Let's handle these last three here. Salvation. Somebody tell me something about salvation. It belongs to the Lord. What does that mean? It belongs to the Lord. Does he need to be saved? Oh, he's the saving agent. Okay, salvation belongs to the Lord. Something else about salvation. Okay, it is our deliverance, as a matter of fact. All right, let's keep going. The church.
Body of believers.
Body of believers. Does it matter what they believe? Yes, it does.
Jesus, Lord.
Mm-hmm. And what was the second one?
Ministers of reconciliation.
And I like the fact that that second one makes it personal. Okay. Too often we think of the churches and organism, those guys down there on the corner. But yes, these ministers, when we speak about reconciliation, that pulls us into the mix. We are to be ministers in this very, very privileged way to reconcile men to God. Wait a minute, I thought that was the Holy Spirit's job. Well, it's all starting to come together, isn't it? Last one, last things. What do you know about last things?
Twinkling of an eye will meet him in the sky.
Okay. We meet Jesus, I presume.
Eternal life with him in heaven. Serve him. Praising him in heaven. Yeah.
Eternal state. Okay. Didn't take 15 minutes, guys. And that's my point. Turn that over, and what you'll see is the whole point of this. What do you learn from an exercise like this? I sandwiched this between quotes from J.I. Packer's book, Knowing God. First quote there says, once you become aware that the main business that you're here for is to know God, most of life's problems fall into place of their own accord. I've lived long enough to know that it's true. Once you realize that God's placed us here, the privilege of spending some time, some people get a long time, some people just have a very brief time, but the whole point is, know your Creator. And once you figure that out, problems just fall into the background. Okay? The solution is in the foreground. Okay. Where are the gaps in my knowledge of God? And we all have them, okay? Can you do the same exercise? Just pull the sheet out in a week and do the same thing, not repeating any of your answers, okay? Two more things about God, two more things about the Son, two more things about the Bible, two more things about angels, about the Holy Spirit, about the church, about salvation, two more things about last final, the wrap up of all things.
Is that rhetorical?
No. No. Can you do that in a week? Or can you do it daily? How long would it take before you found the gaps in what you know about or don't know about God? It wouldn't take me a lifetime. I'd probably go through this exercise 10 or 12 times, and then I'm starting to draw blanks, or I'm starting to repeat myself, okay? But there's the challenge, isn't it, okay? God is infinite, and there is no end to him, so it should take me a lifetime to exhaust what I can say about him, but I don't have it all packed in here, and a lot of the stuff I thought I had in there, I've forgotten, so it's a lifetime learning thing. This is what Packer meant. Knowing God is a whole lot more than knowing about God. If you had to gauge where you would come up short, what do you think that might be? In the area like last things, the eschatology, all those end time events, you think it might be coming up with who's the Holy Spirit? Might run into a few snags there. The truth is, most of you men have been around church long enough that it might take you a while, but all of us are going to hit a wall in one or more of these areas, okay? But again, there's the challenge, okay? The more you know any of these areas, the more you are rounding out your knowledge of God himself. Remember, the theology is just a study of God, and these are just a way of breaking out things that God has shared about himself and what he has created, man, angels, etc. All right, how do I know these things are true, the things I've put down? How do you know they're true? Can they be defended? If somebody asks you, well, yeah, how do you know God is holy?
Well, one of our big presuppositions is that the Bible is true.
Yeah, okay, okay.
And so that if we can support it with a biblical reference, then it should be true.
Okay, which is a leap. But it's a fair one, for Christians anyway, that is based on your presupposition the Bible is a container of truths, that it is a basically reliable source for truth. And that's the way a lot of people start. The Bible is basically reliable. Okay, and then you work from there to a more precise understanding that what the Bible says, even about itself, is true. And no, that's not circular reference. These are 66 books written by 40 authors over 15 centuries. There's no collaboration there. This is, we started out, this is an inspired collection of things that God has given to us. So, yes, if you can come up with a biblical reference for what you say about God, and your interpretation of what's there on the page is accurate, then yes, you can defend these statements about God. But that's one of our bigger challenges. How long did it take Satan to trip up Eve, okay? And she'd seen God and walked and talked with him in the cool of the evening. Yeah, I know you're frowning over the matter of seeing God, but we'll address that later. There's the whole the whole shtick, if I can use that word, of the enemy is to trip people up in what they think they know about God. And he's pretty good at it. He's been doing it ever since he was cast out of heaven. And if you think you know something about God, you should be able to defend it. And in a world like ours, you may need to defend it because things are spinning out of control at a pace that I've never seen before. Lies are being presented as if they are true, and who's going to confront those lies and say, I know, I know better. Thank you, Eric. There's one here. You got a question?
I do.
Go ahead.
I don't personally believe that we can defend God in the worldly way of proving. I believe we can stand in that evil day. I believe we can stand for our experience, our relationship. But I don't know how, for the life of me, I don't know how to prove to a non-believer that there is God.
Okay. Let me explain what I mean by defending our statements about God. If I make a statement about God such as angels, okay, fall into two categories, elect angels and fallen angels. And somebody says, well, I've never heard of fallen angels. Where did you get that from? I thought, you know, my granddaughter just died, and I know she's an angel now. And is she a fallen angel? Well, no, we've got a lot to talk about here, okay? When I say, can I defend my statement? Yeah, I can take you to a scripture and point out that along with Satan, many angels fell at the same time out of grace with God, and they are free to roam around here under the agency of Satan and bedevil mankind. Yeah, we can defend a statement like that. Can I stand and defend a statement like there is a God and you should know who he is? I can. Doesn't mean people are going to accept what I say is true. Okay, but again, I get to fall back on what scripture tells me is that all men already have a knowledge of God. And in the final analysis, I can say, I don't have to convince you that God is. You already know. You might be so good at suppressing that knowledge that you've convinced yourself there is no God, but that doesn't change the reality that God is. You just got work to do to stop suppressing the knowledge he's given you, and then we can have this conversation and carry it further. So can I convince people? No, not my job. It's the Holy Spirit's job, okay? But can I make the defense of the statements that I make? Yeah, I should be able to do that in every case. That help?
Yeah.
All right. Let's keep going. Can I find the Christ connection in each of these subjects? Can you find the Christ connection? Lots of people memorize the Bible. As a matter of fact, in Jerusalem, they have a memorization quiz, like we have spelling bees here. And kids 8-10 years old have memorized the Pentateuch. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, flat out, in Hebrew, okay? Not even 10 years old yet. And you can memorize all of that and still miss Jesus, can't you? Yeah. And so if you don't have a Jesus connection in these things you know about God, frankly, you're wasting your time. Because a knowledge of God that is devoid of Jesus is useless. Okay? There's no point in saying you can even approach God except through the Son. And if you deny the Son up front, It doesn't matter what you've memorized about God. You could be a theologian. You can teach at Princeton or some other place, okay? And be just as bound for hell as anybody who's never heard of Jesus. That's a truism, but it's also defendable in Scripture. No one knows the Father except the Son and the ones whom the Son reveals him to. So find the Christ connection in any of these categories, whether it's, what's the Holy Spirit back up about my knowledge about Christ? Or what's Jesus got to do with the church or last things? There ought to be a Jesus connection. There ought to be a Christ connection in every one of these categories, or we're just filling our heads with memorized bits of data. We've got to have the Christ connection for it to all to come together. And finally, can learning more in particular teach me more about God? In any of these areas, are you learning more about God? Absolutely we are, okay? Theology is more than just learning about God proper. Theology is learning about the God who has started all the spinning and is going to wrap it all up in the end, okay? But the big question is, will learning more about God deepen my love for other people? Because if we fill our heads with knowledge and don't have love, we're useless to God. We might even be an offense and a stumbling block to people who would know God. So, yes, knowing more about God ought to deepen my love for His creation. If only because loving the brethren is the privilege of believers. He's made us in Christ's likeness so that we have communion, not just with God, but with one another. If I'm in Christ and Ed's in Christ, then we have a connection with one another. And that's true with people across the room and people across the globe. Okay? Go anywhere. If the two of you know about Jesus, the two of you are on good footing for fellowship, okay? And our love is tied to this knowledge about God. Question?
Yeah, this morning I had this in mind here. But if you lack any wisdom, ask God. He gives generously, but he must ask in faith.
Right, that's in James, yeah.
Mm-hmm. So it really comes down to your faith in Him and the truth.
Yeah, and by faith, the things we have come to believe and trust are legitimately from God. And yes, that includes His Word, it includes fellowship with other believers. Okay. The sacrifice that God made is for fallen creatures. That includes every one of us. Okay? And even after we're saved, we find that we can still be recipients of grace upon grace, hopefully conduits of grace. This last quote from Packer is a good place to wrap this up. How can we turn our knowledge about God into knowledge of God? The rule for doing this is simple but demanding. It is that we turn each truth that we learn about God into a matter of meditation before God, a meditation before God, leading to prayer and praise to God. Take what you're learning about God and make it a matter of meditation. Meditate it before God and then praise Him. Thanks, guys.
Thank you.